Hello and welcome to the Anatomic Fitness Podcast. I am your host, James Sutherland, and with me is producer that's pretty good, Jason Hewlett.
Producer that's pretty good? Last week I was... The mic broke. Last week I was mic extraordinary.
You were extraordinaire.
Oh, extraordinaire, right.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Okay. Then you made me angry when you told me that the last episode about eating all those potato chips. So.
Yes, but I also did hardcore core workout with you after that. Doesn't that count for anything?
Okay, producer, that's very good.
Right on.
There you go.
Excellent.
One more good workout and you'll be back up there.
Right? I haven't eaten chips since.
Oh, well, that's a good thing. I did. I haven't either.
Right.
So, moving right along.
This isn't about dietary stuff this week.
Yeah, let's pass on that. Let's talk about what we touched on last week.
Okay.
Which was I don't remember, do you?
Right.
Let's just listen to the episode.
Okay, we'll pause while we re-listen to the episode. Okay, we are back.
Okay, it was about...
Meditation.
Meditation.
Right. We mentioned how how it was kind of a good part about kind of, you know, staying focused a bit. And that we should actually dedicate an episode or two to the subject of meditation, because it is something that's being used more often in athletic training, actually in the world of business, any high performance field. It's funnily enough, they don't always call it meditation, though.
Oh, well, no, because that has a stigmatism attached
exactly,
to it.
Exactly, right? So they come up with other, you know, focus training and all this other BS when it's meditation.
It is. Yeah.
Anytime you're doing something that puts you in sort of a relaxed state of consciousness where you're kind of being receptive, and that's what people hate is that word receptive to your brain.
Opening up your brain, listening to your brain. Yes.
Listening to yourself, figuring out who you are, all that airy fairy stuff that people don't like to talk about. They give it another name, but it is meditation.
Exactly. So I've tried numerous times over the years to attempt to have success with meditation. I've read a couple of books on it, and I know one of my childhood heroes, Bruce Lee, was very big on it, and read stuff about that how he focused and how he was able to achieve his Zen state, so to speak. But I myself never had tremendous success with it, and I know you've had a bit more experience with that, and you've had a bit more success. So, you know, what can you speak to from that?
Well, I've been doing this meditation stuff for 9 years now. I started back in my days as a crime reporter at the Counts Daily News when I basically was diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder, chronic depression, etc., as a way to kind of push through, get past that state, right? Because that's a mental state too. So to kind of pull out of my own head and just kind of just let the dust sort of settle and kind of see what kind of comes up. So I started doing that, and it's hard. It's really hard to get into, because I, like you, have a brain that's constantly working.
Yes.
And problem solving, even when I'm on vacation.
And creating.
And problem creating by trying to solve the problems and thinking too much. Which all that actually is just signs of anxiety and forms of depression too, right? So as a way to kind of calm that, and basically what I found, it's like any sort of training, James. The more you do it, the better at it you get, the more consistent you are, the more focused you become. You know what I mean? Like it's everything we do to physically train our body, you can do that with the mind through meditation, but it takes work and dedication.
Because the brain fights back a lot more than the muscles.
Well, muscles do what you tell them to.
Yeah. Well,
most of the time.
Usually, for most people.
The brain, on the other hand, has a whole mind of its own, literally.
Literally, yeah, exactly. So it'll take you where it wants you to go.
Exactly. And so it's part of actually meditating, being really good at it, is kind of on one hand letting the mind do that and then learning how to gently pull it back to focusing on what you're doing. And people think that when you meditate, you're not thinking about anything. No, that's not true. You're just not allowing yourself to focus on any one particular thought or engage in it. So it can be like there's a blue sky analogy. So that state that you want is the blue sky, but there keeps being clouds.
Right.
And you just don't focus on the clouds too much. So as soon as you catch yourself, like what I like to do, it's this one guided meditation through an app called Headspace.
I tried that a few times.
And... really, really good. And what he talks about is you kind of get to a point where you kind of first you put yourself in the state of your own body. And then you kind of get to the point where you're just focusing on the breath. And you count you count. So breath in is a one, breath out is a two, and you do that. So as soon as you find you're grabbing onto a thought process, which I know you've got a lot going on in your head these days.
Yeah.
You kind of, three, four. You just kind of do that, right?
Right.
And the more you do that, the less you kind of hook on to any one thought. But the mistake is you think that you're just going to have a completely clear brain and nothing's going to be there. That's impossible.
Yes. Well, it depends. I know people that it would probably work quite well for them.
Well, do they have a brain to begin with?
So, yeah, and that's similar to an analogy I was told by one counselor I was speaking with a number of years ago about meditation was she compared it to like when you have a brainstorming session with a group of people or whatever, and you have that whiteboard that's blank, then you start, you know, those circles with the offshoot line. So similar to cloud theory. So you go off that way and then you pull yourself back to center cloud again or center circle and then go off on another one and let your brain wander through that thought process and then pull yourself back to the middle again. And, you know, so very similar type of idea. And again, I worked with that a little bit, but I just found myself getting too caught up. You know, I go through one or two of those extra bubbles and then I just take off on one for far too long.
Yeah.
Right. So it's like you need someone in there too to go, hey, bonk you on the side of the head and go, nope, go back to to center. Right?
It's true. Because when I first tried before really doing it seriously, I had the same thing. Like I'd just sit there and like, well, just go sit on the grass out in the backyard in the sun.
Yeah.
Okay, but it didn't work
because now what?
Suddenly a tank battalion in my head was going through and running over all the grass and the daisies and all that. So I think, yeah, starting with a form of guided meditation, that's what it's kind of called, is the best. Because then there's someone, either it's like a person who's actually there or someone via YouTube or an app or whatever, yeah, is leading you along that path. And then you kind of, it's like working with a personal trainer.
Yeah.
You show me enough exercise, we do enough times, or I can go off and do some stuff on my own.
Yeah.
You know. But it's that motivation of where a trainer comes in to like, you know, you're supposed to be training today.
Yeah, no, get you back over here and let's steer this and let's work on this. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Right? So it's the same kind of concept. But the benefits I've found are amazing. Like it does really help increase focus.
Right.
Right? I do it days that I don't do it. And sometimes you fall off the wagon like with anything and 3 or 4 days go by and I haven't. I noticed I'm more scattered. I'm less focused. I'm kind of more tired. I'm less motivated. And I just want to sit and eat chips and watch TV.
Right? Yeah, fair enough. Yeah.
But if I do it, if I keep up with the meditation on a regular basis, even if you get lack of sleep, I can be more, still get done what I need to get done.
Yeah, it's like a recharge for the brain. And
it is. And I've even found if you go into a deep enough state and do more than, say, the requisite 10 minutes, it can equate to hours of sleep.
Well, I'm going to start trying that immediately.
Right?
Yeah, and I think, you know, I think that is a good point you made about, you know, having that guided stuff. If you've never done it before, you're like myself that has had limited success in attempting to have a quality 10-minute Zen moment. You know, having that assistance, that guidance, someone to hold your hand sort of thing, or be redirecting your shoulders when you start going off the wrong way or going through your ears. Because, yeah, the Headspace app that you mentioned, yeah, I did have that for a while and I tried that, but then I didn't just fall. I think I catapulted off the wagon on that one after a few days and I was like, yeah, it's really good. And then I forgot once and then I you know, and then that app kept coming up and yelling at me.
Well,
you haven't used me in a long time. I'm like, shut up.
That's the nice thing I liked about it. Right? I ended up just paying, I think because it's one of those you can pay a monthly subscription or buy it outright. And I think because I was raised with a mother that was very much about money. So when I paid the $700 for the actual app, I'm like, I'm going to use this every day.
I think I use a free version. So. Yeah.
And you get a free trial 10 days, which is basically the basic introductory course, which is probably what you were doing, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think I lasted 3.
And there's boatloads of apps out there now for it. And you can find stuff on YouTube, you know, for free. It's just sometimes it's annoying because then the ad kicks in while you're right getting into that commercial comes in. So
a Tide commercial comes in. And
Tide. I'm trying to. It's gone, right?
Then you're thinking about kids, you know, eating those Tide Pods and all that stuff. And then there goes your meditation.
It falls apart.
Yeah.
But there's lots of options out there. But the thing is, from what we talk about here in terms of training, more and more athletes and coaches are turning to meditation.
Very much so. Yeah. Right? There's a lot of, I follow the NFL and CFL quite a lot. And there's a lot of guys that you'll see on Instagram and stuff there talking about the, you know, I had a killer practice after, you know, I had my meditation, or they've shown pictures of themselves just even sit. They can, some of them are so skilled at it that they can be sitting in their locker, in the middle of the locker room with everyone running around them and doing their thing. And they're meditating in complete chaos.
Oh yeah.
Like an NFL or CFL locker room, like for anyone that's played football at any level, a locker room full of testosterone laden men that are wanting to go out and destroy people. it's pretty volatile space to be in. So for some of these guys to be able to have that 5 or 10 minute meditation session in the midst of that, that shows control that I am nowhere close to having myself.
We would do it with doing boxing, like with White Crane, before we'd spar. Like there's one who is Barry Adkins, who of course is the Sifu, his son, who's, you know, fought competitively, etc. He could kneel down while everyone else is gearing up on the floor, and you could just see he'd close his eyes and he would just go into this space for even like 4 or 5 minutes. But when you'd go against him in the ring after that, he was the calmest person you've ever seen.
Yeah.
Right? And I've tried that a bit, and I could get for a bit, right, kind of, but nowhere near.
That
right?
One sound ticks you, yeah, and wakes you up and brings you back to reality. Yeah.
So he's a prime example. And it's like, again, and in terms of, especially Eastern martial arts, it's meditation is one of the most important components of it.
Well, yeah, you see like the Buddhist monks and all that can do that. The meditation where they're all just sit there like all day.
Yeah.
You know, and that's...
Wow.
that's a whole nother level. I couldn't... You know, I have trouble being quiet for 2 minutes.
I know, me too, right?
Yeah, hence these shows sometimes running too long.
But it's... And like we were talking about last week too, in terms of times of crisis, like the province has been going through. And mental health, the benefits are astronomical. A lot of people don't like meditation because you are sitting by yourself with your thoughts. Right. And so ultimately, yeah, you're going to end up going through some sad stuff, some depressing stuff. I mean, I'm not afraid to say it. When you start meditating, especially if you're meditating for trauma to get through that, you're going to end up crying. So don't be ashamed of that, because you're actually going to get to the heart of what the problem is. That turns a lot of people off because we don't want to address our flaws or our problems or what
that's
sucks
in our life. That's a huge issue. Yeah. Right? Way too many people out there that have had, you know, traumatic childhoods or traumatic incidents, like you mentioned. And the facing those things regardless, you know, because trauma is different for everybody. What happened to one person may be the complete opposite of what happened to somebody else, but it's just as traumatic to that person as it is to the first person. Like,
yeah,
everyone handles and deals with trauma in situations like that differently. And I think the fact there's so many people out there, like you said, that are afraid to deal with it, or they get close to a point that they could start to deal with it, whether it's through counseling or through meditation,
mm-hmm,
and they touch, just dipping their toe in the water sort of thing of that area. And that, no, they pull back and, yeah, go away.
That's why it's
not successful. I'll deal with that later. I'll deal with that another day.
But they're never going to deal with it.
No.
Because the best time to deal with it is at that moment when you've hit it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, when you're on the cusp.
Yeah.
Take the plunge.
It sucks. It's going to suck, but it'll get you to where you want to go. And so when we were talking about like our mental health month, or last week talking about dealing with all the crises going on, it's better to deal with all this now than let it percolate or marinate, as they like to say on Letterkenny.
Indeed.
Because the longer you let it marinate, the worse it's going to be, yep, and the harder it is to come back from it.
It's the opposite of a steak.
Yeah. Yeah. Steak, good to marinate. Trauma, bad.
Trauma, bad. Yes.
Right?
Okay. Steak, good. Trauma, bad.
Okay. There we go. Right.
Words to live by.
But meditation's a great way to get to the root of it quickly and, yeah, work your way through it.
Exactly. And when we talked about this last week, touched on it last week, and then we were talking off air about it, we were trying to figure out if we knew or get a hold of someone rapidly that would be willing to have a discussion with one of us about meditation and how to get there and how to achieve it and how to have success with it. And luckily you were able to. So
yes.
Who do we have coming up next week?
Next week, we got Jolene Lindsay, who's a grief counselor here in Kamloops, where we live. And she uses meditation as a big part. She's a counselor I met while doing research for a book that I'm currently writing about death. So grief counselor made good sense to talk to someone
about
that.
Fair enough.
She brings a lot of spirituality into her practice, which is rare, which I really appreciate. And she does meditation. And she actually has on her website, which we'll release next week, because we don't want to give all the goods this week, because we want you to listen next week. She actually leads people through guided meditation on her website through these YouTube videos that she's done.
Right.
So she's a big believer in it. And so she's a great person to have on.
Well, that's great. So thank you for hooking up that and having that conversation with her. So I'm looking forward to hearing it too.
Well, because you haven't heard it yet.
Exactly.
But next week we'll
do that.
You
probably should hear that.
You probably should. Yeah, it's probably a good idea.
Yeah.
One thing she brought up that I think would be interesting to bring onto the show is acupuncture, because it also ties into ways of relaxing the body. Have you done acupuncture?
I have not. I've done the dry needling aspect of that, which is nowhere close to the same thing. But aside from the fact of needles being inserted into your muscles. No, I have not. I've always thought about it, but I've heard mixed reviews from some of the people in town about it. So I've been a little skeptical. What about yourself?
I don't like needles, period.
Well, that makes acupuncture a little bit difficult.
But it,
so I've have heard a few of shots of whiskey, pass out, and there you go.
Yeah, that's right. And just stick needles in me. Yeah. I've heard, but the benefits can be... It's an Eastern practice, medicinal practice. I've heard it can be tremendously beneficial. I'd be open to trying it, especially with all the aches and pains I have nowadays and a constant battle not to be sore.
Yes.
Right?
Well, maybe we should see about trying to hunt someone down about that too.
I think that would be fantastic. So,
all right. Well then, so next week we'll have Jolene Lindsay mm-hmm. on with a spectacular interview that Jason performed with her. I'm assuming it's spectacular, even though, as I just mentioned, I've not heard it, but I'm assuming it is. So make sure you tune in next week to the Anatomic Fitness Podcast, and we'll let that one marinate until next week.
That's right. So where do people find you, sir?
At James Suds on Instagram or Anatomic Fitness Training and Coaching on that other one. Facebook.
Right.
That's the word.
The Facebook.
Until they change the name of that one, too.
Which isn't going to be... Aren't they doing something with that?
I've heard rumors. So anyways, tune in next week. We won't change our name. It'll still be the Anatomic Fitness Podcast.